About change you can believe in again this Sunday. And you know, it's an amazing thing about change. Some changes we just welcome into our life. It's almost like our culture is addicted to change. We don't seem to mind. As a matter of fact, we are more often than not maybe in love with some of the changes of our day, changes in technology. You know, some of you really keep up with the latest in technology, and maybe you need to do that for your job. We think about those changes that we welcome in styles and fads and a job promotion. We don't mind those kind of changes, but those are superficial changes. But when it comes to supernatural change, when it comes to significant change, we often, me included, tend to resist this. We tend to resist that kind of change. Well, what is the supernatural and significant change, Pastor, that you're talking about? Well, what I'm talking about is change in me. You see, I don't mind changing the style and the fad and all of those things. But when it comes to change in me, then I don't know if you ever have this problem or not, but sometimes I can find myself resisting change in my life. Anybody else will say, oh, me, besides the pastor this morning. And so when we think about what changes need to take place in me, we ask the question, well, is there a selfishness or is there a character defect? Is there an addiction? Is there a lust? Is there an anger issue? Is there just a negative spirit? What is it in your life and in my life that needs to change? And somebody says, well, you know, I really don't need to change. Well, you definitely need to change because you've got a pride issue and you would want to change that. You know, when it comes to change, and we do need to understand, all of us need to change. You say, well, Pastor, why can you make such a blanket statement like that, that all of us need to change? Because the Bible tells us to grow in grace. And it's impossible to grow without change. Would you agree with that? Anything that grows is changing. And the Bible tells us we need to be growing in that grace and in that knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said it this way in 2 Corinthians 3:18 that I quote a lot because I love this verse. And the reason I love this verse is I'm trying to live it out more and more in my life and get to the depths of what Paul is saying and depend on the Holy Spirit. But he says that we are being transformed with ever-increasing glory just as by the Spirit of the Lord. For the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. But he says it's an increasing glory, and we're changing in the image of Jesus Christ constantly. So we all need to change because we all need to grow in the grace and the knowledge of Him. But second of all, we have to desire to change. Nothing is going to happen in my life until I understand I need to change. I need to be more like Christ in my life. And I desire for that change to take place in my life. I'm talking about supernatural change. Change in me. And then third of all is the most paradoxical statement I made last week, if you were here. Third of all, these are all presuppositions to this thought of change in me, change in our life. I have to admit something that may cause you to sit up and think before you want to say this. And here it is. Here's the third thing. Well, I need to change, and I must desire change, or it's not going to happen. And then, third of all, I must admit I can't change. When we're talking about supernatural change, change in me, I cannot do that in and of myself. Now, God saw that we couldn't. God saw the problem that we have in our lives, that we can't change our lives. He sees our need to change. And He took care of that for us by sending His Son in our place to give to us the understanding that He is the change agent. Now, if you haven't put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and you come to church here or you go to church somewhere else and you just happen to be here today, I want to encourage you to understand that Jesus Christ did for you and me for what we could not do for ourselves. And we need to end our efforts in trying to change ourselves. I'm talking about conversion now. I'm talking about being born again. I'm talking about having a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Stop trying to change myself to get good enough. Anybody else? Did you have that problem before you came to Christ? Stop trying to change myself to get good enough so that somehow the Lord will accept me or I'll enjoy life, and understand that the more I dig that hole, the deeper the hole gets that I'm standing in. And you know when you've hit bottom in life? You know when you hit bottom? Not just before you come to Christ, but even after we come to Christ and we're trying to change in our own self-effort. You know when you hit bottom? It's when you put the shovel down. And you look down and there's nowhere else to go. And you look around and you're worried and there's no seemingly way to go around you. But then you look up. And that's what God wants us to do. Because He wants us to look up to Him. And He wants to lift us out of our pit. As David said, He lifted me out of a horrible pit, put my feet upon a rock, and He established my going. And that's what we're talking about when we're talking about this thing called change. He lifted us out of our misery and our self-effort that only made it worse in our life. And He placed our feet on Christ, our lives on Christ, and He began to order our steps. And when you and I come to Christ in this kind of change, I call this the great exchange. Because I exchanged my guilt for His grace. I exchanged my rebellion for His righteousness. God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for Wayne Merritt in you. So that you and I might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. It's called the great exchange. I exchanged my faults for a friend who sticks closer than a brother. I exchanged my sin for a Savior who alone can give me life and give it to me more abundantly. It's called the great exchange. And when you and I make that great exchange and we receive Christ in our life, and the change process then takes place. He places the Holy Spirit in our lives. And the Holy Spirit comes within us, to live within us, and He changes us from the inside out. You know, we like to change the cosmetics of things. But this change I'm talking about, this supernatural change, this significant change, is not just rearranging the furniture in my life, but the Holy Spirit comes in and He redecorates me from the inside out so that I begin to reflect the purpose of God and the joy of the Lord and the peace of God. I begin to reflect the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. So, change is an event. It's the conversion experience. It's the born-again experience. It's putting my trust and faith in Jesus to begin a relationship of eternal life with Him. That's the event, the great exchange. But it's followed by a process. And that process, as we saw last week, includes confession. Not only do I confess my sin when I come to Jesus as my Savior, but 1 John 1 and 9 says if we confess our sins as Christians, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The Scripture tells us that we need to get to that place that we no longer cover up our sin, that we no longer conceal our sin. For Proverbs 28 and verse 13 says, he who conceals his sin or covers his sin shall not prosper. But the one who confesses and forsakes his sin shall have mercy. And that's the trigger when we confess and we come to God. And so I begin to agree with God. That's what confession is. I agree with what God says about sin. I agree with what God says about what I need and the change I need in my life. And then that's my word. And then the second part of this process is what we call repentance. And it means to change my way. Repentance means to change my mind. Repentance means to turn around, to go in a different direction. It means to change and go in the opposite direction of my way, the way that I'm going, and into the way of the Lord. And then the third thing we looked at last week was that this process of change includes obedience, that I need to walk this out, that I not only just confess it, I not only just change my mind about it, but by faith I obey the word of the Lord. Now I'm talking about change you can believe in this morning. I'm talking about supernatural change. I'm talking about significant change in my life and in your life. But the point is that we need to learn to trust God in this process. So that's what I want to minister this morning, just for a few minutes. Trusting God in the process of change. Would you say that with me? Trusting God in the process of change. Now, if change is not on there, but you know what we're talking about. When we talk about change, and we're just using a broad definition of change, to change means to make the form, the nature, the content, the future course something of something different from what it is. It is to change the form, the nature, the content, the future course of something different from what it is. So when it comes to supernatural change, that's not easy. And if you could just put that definition, did I put that slide up? There it is. That's just not easy for me. When I look at that definition, I think, that can be tough. When I'm talking about supernatural change, change in me, when I'm thinking about, you know, letting go and letting God, we say, and all the cliches we use in Christianity, I realize that in this process of confessing and repenting and obeying and walking it out, that that change in me can be tough. Now, I want to tell you that the life of a disciple is the greatest adventure you'll ever be on. Living in relationship and having the Lord's presence reside in your heart is the most beautiful life. But I call it the brutiful life. It's brutal and it's beautiful. You say, well, why? Because as I walk this process out in change, I am going to have conflict. And I'll talk about that a little bit more in a moment. But we know that we wrestle not against each other. We know that our conflict is with spiritual forces in the heavenly realm. So it's going to get brutal sometimes. That's why, you know, faith is a gift, but you got to live it out. And Paul says you got to fight the good fight of faith. Are y'all on the page with me this morning? It can be brutal. Yes, it's a beautiful life. Yes, it's an adventurous life. It's the greatest life you'll ever know. But there's a conflict. I read this morning in my Bible in 1 Peter 2:11 that Peter says that we need to abstain from sinful desires. Watch this. That war against your soul. And there's a conflict, you see. And in Romans 7, Paul talks about this battlefield of his thinking and what he's going through in his mind, because he wants to do God's will. He knows that's where the life is, that he knows that's where the prosperity is, but he finds this other law of sin and death that's warring against his mind. And so it's a very brutal life. And so when I'm talking about the process of change and I say it's tough and it's not easy sometimes, that's what we need to understand in order to know that we must trust the Lord. We must put our confidence in Him. Now, when you and I were born, our parents, and when our children were born, we as parents, pretty soon, we taught them to walk. And, you know, we knew that the strength was getting there, and we didn't just leave them in the crib, and we took them out, and we got the big video camera. How many of y'all remember the big video camera that, you know, got the great stuff now? See, we need this change in technology. That's the good stuff. But we were videoing, we were coaxing our kids, and we would hold on to them, and then we would back away, and they'd take a step or two, and they'd fall flat on their butt. You remember that? And or they would stumble and hit their head, and they'd get a little boo-boo. And It's all part of the process, isn't it? That we're born again. You know something beautiful? The Bible says that not only are we born again, I got to throw this in, but the Bible says we are adopted. And I always wondered about that. I thought, well, if you're born again into the family of God, isn't that great and wonderful? Why does Paul have to talk about adoption? I'm going to tell you why he does, because it's very important that in the Greco-Roman world of the time that the New Testament is written, did you know that a biological child in that world could be disowned, but not an adopted child? And I want you to see something of the great exchange. I want you to see something this morning of the love of God and the mercy of God, that when we confess our sins, that He is faithful and just to forgive us. And here's the thing. You see, what we cover, God uncovers. But what we uncover, God covers with His mercy and grace and forgiveness and power and love in our life. And so when we think about this process, yeah, it can be brutal. Yeah, there's a fight of faith. But we understand that we're on a destination. We have a destiny in Christ. And it's just all part of that process, like a child learning to walk. So you say, well, trusting God in this process, what is all of that about? I just want to show you this phrase. This is the crux of what I'm going to say this morning, as a matter of fact. And we need to get this in our spirit and understand that my perspective and priorities determine my purpose. Say that with me. My perspective and priorities determine my purpose. Now let's say it again. My perspective and priorities determine my purpose. And so think about right now. I'll think about it, and I did, believe you me. Think about your perspective. What you see in the natural world and even by faith. And I want to tell you, you know, we start this faith journey. It's a step of faith. And then the Bible tells us to not to walk by sight, but to walk by faith. And I'll just confess to you as a pastor, there's sometimes I don't feel faith. Sometimes I feel like I have that mustard seed faith. But guess what? Jesus said that mustard seed faith can move that mountain. And you may feel like that you're in the warfare this morning. You may feel like you brought it with you. But I want to tell you that greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world. When the Holy Spirit comes in to redecorate our lives, I want to tell you, He has all authority and power to say to the world and in the face of the devil, the face of conflict himself, that I am for this child of God. He is, she is an overcomer in their life. And we talk about the process that the Holy Spirit comes in. He's the change agent. But we begin to think about my perspective. We begin to think about, well, what are my priorities? And begin to think about, well, is my purpose? And I'm talking about lasting change, obviously. And I have to ask myself, do I really want to change? This thing that keeps rearing its ugly head in my life, if that's you this morning, do I want to change? What's that process? And you may ask, well, Pastor, is there a scripture to back up this statement? And I'm glad you asked that, because I've been waiting all message to give you the scripture. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to give you the scripture reference. And before you even see the first part of it on the screen, you're going to know it. Many of you are going to know it. But here it is. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Does anybody know it? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And it begins by saying, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And somehow, in this verse, the writer of this proverb is saying to us that God is on a destination with us, on a journey with us. And the first step in this process of change is you got to get your perspective right. And you need to begin to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Would you say with me, just say, all my heart. All my heart. Trust in the Lord with all my heart. And then notice what he says. This is a negative thing that he says next. That's the positive thing. That's the positive side. Aren't you glad God always gives us the positive and the power before he tells us what we need to do? He says, lean not and lean not to your own understanding. If I'm going to have the right perspective that's going to really necessitate change in my life, that's part of this process of what God is doing in my life as a change agent in my life, I've got to have a bigger perspective than what my own understanding can give to me. I've never ceased to be amazed at how arrogant sometimes I have acted. And God says, I want you to confess it, and I want you to repent of it, and then I want you to obey. And I begin to think, well, you know, I think I've got a better way on this one. And I love it in counseling over the years when I've asked couples, but what does the Bible say? I know what the Bible says, Pastor, but just take the but out. Just go ahead and get it out. It's messing you up. And I've done it too, because of my perspective. I've got a limited perspective. And God's perspective is so great. And he said, I want you to trust me with all your heart in this situation. I want you to trust me with all your heart obeying me here. I want you to trust me with all your heart when you're turning from the way you've been going and start turning to the way I've said for you to go. I want you to get the bigger perspective. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. After all, he is sovereign, is he not? And I am not. He is Father and I'm a child. Is that your relationship? You know, sometimes I think we in the Spirit-filled movement, and I'm so glad that I are one, but I think sometimes if we're not careful, we can get kind of conceited about this. Because when I hear people talk, and I hear them talk about what they can do, and I'm saying, like Solomon, Lord, and Jeremiah, I'm just a little child. I'm just a little child. I've got to trust in you. Now, next week, I'm going to give you a preview of next week. How many of you like shows that they give you the preview of the next week's episode? Well, I'm going to go ahead and give you this. This won't cost you anything. I'm going to talk about U-turns in our life next week and how that God is sometimes he's got an assignment and an appointment for your life, and God's not going to give up on you until he gets you to that assignment and to that appointment. And I'm going to baptize a very special Christian next week who's come to faith in the Lord over the last couple of weeks. And if you've come to faith in Jesus, this is a quick commercial that's worthy of more than just commercial status. But if you've just come to faith in Jesus, you've never been baptized in water, why don't you see me after the service and we'll include you in this water baptism next Sunday. But the point is that I get to that place, I gotta have a bigger perspective. I got to get God's perspective, so that necessitates I've got to trust God with all my heart when I can't see it, when I can't understand it, when I can't feel it. Because if I lean on my own understanding, I'm just pushing that elevator button down. You ever notice, you ever gotten an elevator by yourself? Especially one of these that's got the elevator music, and you're going down, and you don't even realize it. And especially if it's got mirrors, you're flexing, you know, fixing your hair. If you're going down in life, push the emergency stop and get off and let God take you back up. But you've got to have the right perspective. You know, I don't know what's got into me lately. I've gotten real nostalgic. Maybe I've just started enjoying technology better. Don't understand it anymore. But so I was sitting in my recliner the other night, and I Googled in my old junior high school, Pierce Junior High. And after, let's see, so many years ago, it's still there, and it's Pierce Middle School. And I Googled it in, and there it was. And you know how you get the bird's eye view, the satellite view? And I just started zooming in. And I lived, when I was in the eighth grade in Tampa, I lived the next street over. Just the next street over from the middle school was West Henry Street, 4403 West Henry. And I kept zooming in, kept zooming in, kept zooming in until I saw the roof of my house that I lived in. That was neat. And I thought I'd begin to think about all the memories. I'm telling Kim this, and she said, are you trying to find your old girlfriend from middle school? I said, no. I said, I was so shy in eighth grade. I like girls, but, you know, we didn't get there in the eighth grade much. But the point is I thought, well, I grew up on 314 at 314 Bridgeford Road, Hazelhurst, Georgia, and I Googled it in, and I remembered, wow, I kind of went back in my childhood, and it was there that I learned to climb trees and build huts. And it was there that I was standing under that pear tree, and my brother took that stick and hit that red wasp's nest, and they stung me, and I went screaming back into the house. And it was there that I learned to shoot a jump shot and do a layup, and it was there that I learned to ride my bicycle. And I'd begin to think about all of my life there as a child growing up, 314, except for that one little stint in Florida. But then you kind of zoom out, you know? And you keep zooming out, and you see Jeff Davis County and Georgia and the United States and the world if you go to Earth Google, perhaps, or Google Earth, rather. But the point is that God's perspective is so much bigger than mine living there at 314 Bridgeford Road, you know. So much bigger, so much greater. And when I'm limited by my perspective, when I live by my perspective, I'm limited by what I can see and what I can understand. But yet, when I say, Lord, I trust you, I zoom out. And I see the vastness of the one who calls the stars by name, hallelujah, who says the very hair of your head is numbered, who sees every little sparrow that falls. Are you not worth more, much more than all of them? I begin to change my perspective, and all of a sudden I can trust this God. Can anybody else say amen? I can trust Him with all of my heart. So my perspective begins to change on marriage. When I get God's perspective, my perspective begins to change on how I'm going to choose my friends and my inner circles and those that I'm allowing to speak in my life. My perspective is going to change on my emotions, and can I trust my emotions? I want to tell you, emotions make great followers but lousy leaders. Somebody said, just follow your heart. That sounds romantic, doesn't it? Just follow your heart. I'm telling you, it'll get you in a mess. You know why? What was one of the verses we looked at last week? And this is the last review of last week that I'll only bring here. Romans 12:2. And it says, do not be conformed. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world. Did you know that the world has a pattern for you? And it's really saying, don't be pressed into this world's mold. But then what does it say? But be transformed, metamorphosis, changed. Changed in the life of God, in the likeness of the life of Jesus Christ. Metamorphosis, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Oh, there it is. I got to change my perspective. I got to renew my mind. The world wants us to walk around like like we're in some kind of cult. And we're just doing what the world tells us to do. And the world offers such freedom, and it offers ingenuity, it says, in the world system. But I want to tell you, it's just a bunch of junk, isn't it? And I renew my mind. I'm transformed by the renewing of my mind. I'm changed by the renewing of my mind. And, it's all up here in this mind, as Paul said, that battle takes place. I call it the brain field. Anybody else? Not the drain field, but it's the brain field, because that's where the battle's taking place. And when the enemy tries to distract me and get my eyes on my limitations, I got to look up and see the one who is limitless in his power. So when I trust God with all of my heart, I have such a greater perspective and able to then discern the priorities that I need. When I have God's perspective and the greater perspective, I'm able to follow His purpose. If I don't trust Him, I'll have limited perspective. My priorities will be whatever I feel, and my life will have no rhyme or reason. Just follow your heart? No. So romantic, but it's so wrong. Don't trust how you feel. Trust. You know, God's purpose has already been written out for you and me in black and white, hasn't it? And not just His overall purpose to give God the glory with all that we are and do, but even in the specific areas of our assignment and our appointment. So when God is changing my life, there's going to be a conflict. That's the reason most of us resist it. But if we'll keep trusting God, if we'll keep walking through it, if we'll keep walking through that conflict, whether it's sinful desires that war against my mind or the principalities and powers of darkness that's warring against my mind, wherever the warfare is coming from Peter or Paul in this situation, what we have to do is to continue to go through that conflict. You see, the enemy doesn't want you to change. He doesn't want me to change. The old nature doesn't want me to change, but bless God, I am a new creation in Jesus Christ. All things have passed away. All things have become new. God's got a glorious purpose and a beautiful life for every one of us to live. I want you to see this on the screen because I put it on here because I think it's good for us. Change brings conflict that brings growth. And that's what God is after in all of us. With ever increasing glory. Paul said, you know, I've been through all kinds of difficulties, but I have a treasure in this earthen vessel to show that the excellency of the power is from God and not from me, Paul, and not from me, Wayne Merritt. So I'm not going to lean on my own understanding. I'm not going to lean on my carnal confidence. I'm going to lean on God-fidence. Put my trust in Him. Then he says, in all your ways, acknowledge Him. He's talking about priorities. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Put Him first. Make Him the center and circumference of your life. Make Him your all in all. That word acknowledge there, in all your ways, acknowledge Him. That word is from a Hebrew word, yada. Say that, yada. Say it again, yada. I've taught you some Hebrew this morning. I didn't get anything out of church today. You can say, I got some Hebrew. It means to know. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may attest to what God's good, pleasing, and perfect purpose and will is. And we come to that place and we begin to attest. We begin to discern. And trusting God gives me the perspective to know what the priorities ought to be in my life. So what are those priorities? I'm just not going to spend time here, but just so that none of us are foggy, you know, God must be first in my life. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And these things will be added unto you as well. So God is first. But let me talk about some other things. What about in our culture? You know, please don't misunderstand me. I love children. I love my kids. I'd give my life for my kids, and you would too. But it's not all about the kids. Marriage is first. Your spouse in right relationship with one another in Christ is first. You know, some of our homes have made the kids the CEO. get them out of the corner office. When I was with Continental, I worked on the fifth floor of Trust Company Bank building. Lou Carlotta occupied that corner office that had windows on two sides and was the biggest. It's not all about the kids. If you want to be the greatest parent, the best parent, you know, Jesus said, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. And then it tells us to bring up our children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Wives, you respect your husbands. You honor your husbands. Let that submission be in your life. But the priority. What about the priority with my money? God first. It's called the tithe. The first tenth. You say, that doesn't make sense to me, Pastor. That doesn't make sense for me to give a tenth of my income. Lean not to your own understanding. See, I got to trust God with all of my heart to tithe. It's got to be a priority in my life. Honor the Lord with your increase, with the first fruits of all your increase. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your increase. And we say, you know, it just doesn't make sense. That's my own understanding. And I can go that way if I want to, but it's not going to prosper. Not only did God say, trust him with the tithe, he said in Malachi 3:10, test me with it. I'm just trying to help us this morning. I'm talking about priorities, the process. My perspective and priorities determines my purpose. You know, I think the change is the accumulation of the decisions we make. And the great decision is for Jesus to trust him and then begin to walk this out in the black and white of his word. I hope you won't take this the wrong way, but I want to tell you the greatest investment Kim and I have made, and even before I was married, but after we were married, the greatest investment we have made is investment in the kingdom of God. The greatest investment I've made has not been in real estate, it's not been in houses, it's not been in the stock market, it's not been in my retirement. The greatest investment I have made is in the kingdom of God. And I want to tell you, God has blessed me abundantly. And he's blessed some of you and many of you as well. What a blessing. And we can go on. What about the priority of the church? The priority of the church. In other words, got to get your priorities right. And then we begin to look at God's purpose. I want us to see this last verse, the part of verse 6, 3 and 6, Proverbs 3 and 6, and he will make your path straight. You know, in some of our translations it said, and he will direct your paths. Nothing wrong with that. But this verse, and this part of the verse, is not just talking about guidance in our lives. It is literally saying God will move the obstacles out. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. God's got an amazing purpose for our lives, an amazing purpose. But it requires change. Changing into the image of Jesus is a process. And my perspective and priorities determine the purpose that I'm living in Christ. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads with me. And if you've not made that decision for the Lord Jesus Christ, the most important thing that we can do in church is to give anyone an opportunity who has not put their faith and trust in Christ to put their faith and trust in him. And I want to encourage you. It's just a dead-end street. No rhyme nor reason. It's digging a hole. Put down the shovel, and you'll find the great exchange of freedom, forgiveness, peace, joy, love. Praise his name. And I would just want to invite you. I just allow the Holy Spirit just to welcome you into the family of God. Just welcome you in, enfold you in His great arms, His everlasting arms. Heavenly Father, I pray for any person here this morning who may not know You. Lord, somehow help us, help them, Father, to know without a shadow of a doubt how much You love them. They can't change. None of us could, but You're the great change agent. You gave to us the possibility and the hope and the faith to make that great exchange. And I thank You for that. I can trade all of my old life. You give me a new one, a new start. And I pray for anybody here who needs to find You as Savior and Lord, that we wouldn't just gloss over this, but Father, in the name of Jesus, may they just, as simple as You said, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Just help them to turn their faith to You, Christ. And receive You into their life. Father, I pray for us. I pray for any of us here this morning. I pray for any of us, Lord, who may be in a conflict. It's a conflict. But You said that the weapons of this warfare, they're not of this world, but they are mighty through You to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, that old brain field, that battlefield of the brain, casting down imaginations and every high thing, that pride, that arrogance that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Father, I pray for any person here right now who's going through that kind of conflict and they know, Father, what You're doing in their lives. I'm praying that they'll walk through it in faith, holding Your hand, holding Your power and love that will not let them go, never disown them. We'll praise You and thank You and glorify You in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. I'm going to ask you to stand with me. And, you know, I've asked the ministries of music to come back and sing one of the choruses we sung this morning. How many of you want to be, say to God, I'm Yours, God? Would you just lift your hand as a testimony? I'm Yours, God. I'm Yours. All Yours. All in. Holding nothing back, nothing back, nothing back. Trusting in the Lord with all my heart, with all my heart. Because I want to tell you, He is on that throne. And He sees you and He sees your need. He sees the intricacies of your life. He sees them in my life. And I want to tell you, all glory and power and honor is His. He can do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. As we sing this chorus, if any one of you at any time would say, Pastor, I just want to come and have special prayer. I'm in a conflict. Here's an area that I've been praying about in my life. I know that I need to see some change here. We all are in this process. If you're in a conflict, we're going to be who we're supposed to be this morning, the body of Christ, the family of God, and we're going to pray for each other and help each other to find strength in Christ. Sing, Heather, lead us as we sing this. If you want to come for special prayer, just come from where you are this morning. Would you lift your hands and just begin to see Him? See Him who sees you, who made the great exchange for us. Give Him praise this morning. Give Him praise, would you? Hallelujah. Let's sing it out. Let's sing it in worship to the Lord today. Your love. Can we sing that again, Heather, that phrase, "Behold the Lamb of God"? Sing it out, church. Let's worship Him. Praise God. Thank you, Father. We receive today, God, from you. Would you lift your hands as you sing that? Begin to receive the freedom that you have in Christ. If you want special prayer, come from where you are. We're going to believe God to do a miracle in your life. You may need a change in your circumstances or in your body. You may need a change that God is bringing to your circumstances even, but He wants you to know that you are more valuable than all of your circumstances. I believe that God just wants us to sing it one more time, Heather. Can we just sing it one more time and just allow somebody else that may be in a conflict? God wants to do a miracle. God wants to change not just your situation, but change you. You'll rise up with strength as an eagle. Hallelujah. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
To you I give my all. Yours.
Come on up. I'm going to ask the body of Christ to come up as they sing it one more time. Would you just come and stand in this altar area? Let's believe the Lord. Let's believe the Lord for a touch in our own lives. It's going to make a difference in our family and in our church. It's going to make a difference in what you're going through, what you're dealing with. All over the building, just come and stand behind these that have already come. Let's spend time together this morning, thanking God that He's the great change agent. When I couldn't do it for myself, He did it for me. God bless you. Come singing and worshiping.
Jesus crucified.
to Him. Lift your hands, would you please, and open your hearts. Let's worship the Lord. Would you worship Him as we sing this together? Would you lift your hands, and if you need healing in your body, if you need a healing in your body, and I want to go so far, if you need a deliverance from something, whatever it is, I want you to receive right now. Would you lift your hand? Just begin to receive. Just to begin to receive. I want us to lift up Gunner, Ingrid's grandson, Danielle's son. He's been in the hospital with a terrible infection. Praise God, we believe he's better, but just lift up Gunner. Kim's mom had to be taken to the hospital yesterday by ambulance, and others of you have expressed your need of healing. Father, in the name of Jesus, we receive today in this congregation. Just lay your hand on somebody's shoulder. You never know what that could mean. It's a physical touch of the Holy Spirit touching and bringing healing and deliverance and strength. Touch is so powerful. You ever notice when you read through the gospel, Jesus was always touching people, always touching the lepers, always touching the little children, always touching the fevered brows. In the name of Jesus, Father, we need your touch. I pray for healing. I pray for deliverance. I pray for strength in bodies that's weak in their heart and discouraged, in the name of Jesus. We receive today. We thank you, Father. We praise you. We glorify you. We honor you. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm glad he's on the throne. How about you? He is there. He is there. Let's give him praise again. Let's give him praise. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God bless you. God bless you. See you Wednesday night. The Lord blessings on you. Take my own advice. Love alone is worth the fight.